we're going to have to rebuild within this wild, wild west of information flow some sort of curating function.
It's time for the Access of Easy podcast, the weekly technology digest that keeps you ahead of the curve.
We've got to maybe do something with the internet.
Brought to you by EasyDNS.com.
Somebody will say, oh, freedom of speech, freedom of speech. These are foolish people.
Chinese facial recognition can now identify people even when wearing masks. UK's MI5 wants unprecedented backdoor access to encrypted communications. Musicians generate every possible melody in existence and then release it to the public domain. And why the sudden push to control trusted sources of news in Canada? Hey there, everybody. Mark Jeftovic here with Access of Easy, edition 135. The show notes for this week's page podcast will be up on easydns.com/podcast/135. Last week's quote was, "An era can be considered over when its basic illusions have been exhausted." That was Arthur Miller, and nobody got it. This week's quote, "Nothing can now be believed which is seen in a newspaper. Truth itself becomes suspicious by being put into that polluted vehicle." You know the rules, no searching it up online, and the first person to post the correct answer to the show notes page for this episode gets their next hosting or domain renewal on us. So Chinese facial recognition can now identify people even when wearing masks. So a couple weeks ago, we reported that China was trying to clamp down on reporting on coronavirus info. And one of the problems they were running into is they were having a hard time spotting people of public interest or people of interest in the public because of the widespread adoption of face mask use. In fact, in a couple of provinces, it was even mandatory to use face masks, so it was hampering the state's facial recognition systems. So a Chinese facial recognition company called SenseTime has been working diligently on this, and they have fine-tuned the system so that now, apparently, they can identify people using facial recognition. Even when wearing protective masks, they can screen through people wearing scarves over their faces or otherwise disguising themselves, even with things like fake beards. Work on disguised face recognition, or DFI, has been going on since at least 2017. Also in China, new Chinese facial recognition cameras on buses can take your temperature and report anomalies. So they're testing facial recognition cameras on buses on two bus routes in South China that also take your temperature as you board the bus. Quote, "Installed at the bus entrance, the thermometer scans a passenger's face, targeting the forehead area to take the temperature. It can handle a large flow of people as the check is done in less than 1 second," end quote. And if they find an anomalous reading, they can report that back to authorities. But it's getting even more intense in other parts of China. In Hangzhou province, your smartphone must have an app that determines your quarantine status. So I wasn't even finished writing the previous piece when a reader forwarded me this article in the New York Times about how users in Hangzhou province are mandated by state authorities to install an app on their phones that reports their locations in real time to state authorities. And it determines whether or not the user should be admitted to public spaces like subways and malls. The app is called the Alipay Health Code. It's made by Ant Financial's Alipay, which is a sister company to Alibaba. And the New York Times did some research on the software. They found that, quote, "As soon as a user grants the software access to personal data, a piece of program labeled Report Info and Location to Police sends the person's location, city, name, and identifying code number to a server. The app also generates a QR code in one of three colors, green to allow unrestricted movement, yellow recommends a seven-day self-isolation, and red signals a mandatory 2-week quarantine." So continuing on a theme, we have reports that the U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement Agency, known as ICE, has been found to be accessing at least one state's DMV database and running facial recognition scans for targets against the repository of driver's license photos. We're talking about Maryland, and state legislators want to put some requirements around ICE's ability to remotely access their DMV database without a warrant. Right now, any credentialed law enforcement officer can access the state's facial recognition database without warrants, and ICE has done so on at least 42 occasions in 2019. And the facial recognition company that partners with law enforcement agencies has its entire client list stolen. So if you remember in Access of Easy 129, we reported about Clearview AI, which is a creepy new data broker that scraped billions of pictures from social media profiles, compiled them into a facial recognition database, and then partnered with law enforcement agencies worldwide to provide AI-enabled facial recognition abilities to identify people spotted out in the real world in real time. So Clearview got hacked, and with it, their entire client list, and it turns out that they weren't just partnering with law enforcement, unless you count Macy's, Walmart, the NBA, Kohl's, and Rite Aid as law enforcement agencies, because all of those aforementioned companies were found to be on their client list. So that story was broken by BuzzFeed, and I have to admit, the coverage of it is not bad, so that'll be up on the show notes page. And a pair of musicians have used a MIDI sequencer to generate all possible musical melodies in existence, and then they copyrighted the aggregate and then released it to the public domain. So their goal is to emancipate musicians from being sued for having similar melodies, which are later found to be infringing. And, you know, there's been various cases of this over the year. I remember Huey Lewis versus Ray Parker Jr. I can't remember which one sued who. And then Led Zeppelin's Stairway to Heaven has been the subject of a protracted court case since at least 2015, possibly earlier. The UK's MI5 director wants unprecedented backdoor access to encrypted communications. So the director of MI5 in the UK, which is their domestic spy agency, equivalent to like the FBI in the States or the RCMP here in Canada, he's wondering why the government can't simply access unencrypted communications of anybody they suspect is a terrorist whenever they want. Quote, MI5's Director General Andrew Parker has called on technology companies to find a way to allow spy agencies exceptional access to encryption. End quote. He goes on to call out, you know, the usual four horsemen of the info apocalypse to rationalize why, you know, the citizenry should have zero privacy safeguards against their own governments. Why the sudden push to control trusted sources of news in Canada? I wrote an op-ed for the Post-Millennial, and I took a look at how both the BTLR, which is the Broadband Telecom Legislative Review, and then that media group spearheaded by the CBC are pushing for the government to legislate regulations around trusted sources of news on the internet. And right now, what my issue is around this, especially with trusted sources of news, is that with this coronavirus thing going on all over the world, I'm finding that non-official, independent, alternative media sources that I've been following are doing a far better job of reporting facts and analysis than anything coming out of any official government agency or what would be a quote-unquote, you know, trusted source of news. Remember, if you haven't already signed our House of Commons petition to get the government to reject the BTLR, go to the show notes page and click on that. And if you can share it with your friends and colleagues, do that as well. Coronavirus has turned into a battle for narrative control. So I guess that's kind of a dominant theme in this week's edition. It shows you the lengths governments worldwide are going to in order to control the population. And as part of that, control the narrative around the spread of coronavirus. And so, you know, don't worry, I'm not entertaining conspiracy theories that the coronavirus is some kind of Chinese plot to institute a police state. But I do think that in China, they're very much adhering to the old government maxim of never let a good crisis go to waste, and they've got a doozy on their hands to work with. Here in the West, in the U.S. especially, the governments seem to be acting out of more of a kind of denial, and they're just kind of hoping that the epidemic will go away so that the stock market can keep going up. And it's a weird dynamic, but in both cases, I'm finding governments want to be firmly in charge of the narratives around what's going on. So I mentioned last week, Chris Martinson is the best source of analysis and coverage that I've seen so far, and I gave an outdated URL in the show notes last week for his video feed. So we've updated that in the show notes for this week. But you know, he's facing headwinds of his own. When he started running his coronavirus coverage, his Wikipedia page was inexplicably deleted. It had existed for 10 years, and they say it doesn't meet the notability requirements, which is kind of odd. And lately, he's been reporting that his subscribers on YouTube have been saying, I'm getting unsubscribed from the YouTube feed. So, you know, obviously, I would pitch my book at this point and say, you've got to read my book and find out how you mitigate against that. And I'll even say the answer here. Put half the episode of your videos on YouTube and then bring your audience back to your own website to watch the full episode of every installation that you're putting out there, and get people to subscribe on your own website, not on YouTube, because it's out of your control what happens to your own customer base out there on YouTube. Anyway, if you follow Martinson's coverage, you come to the inescapable conclusion that the U.S. has kind of missed the boat on getting out in front of this. They've created this task force with the vice president in charge of it, and they put the Treasury Secretary on it, and they put Larry Kudlow on it. And one of the first acts coming out of this task force was to require that all health officials clear all messaging around coronavirus through their office. So it seems the emphasis is on spin and on maintaining a stock market bubble than actually doing something about this. And, you know, I came across an interesting Twitter thread. Some guys have actually sequenced the genome of the Washington samples of COVID-19, and they posted it online. But the punchline is that there's probably about 50,000 infections in the U.S. right now. Not 15 going to zero, like Trump said sometime last week, but more like 50,000 and going up. Some of the doubling times I've been hearing in other countries around the world are 4 to 5 day doubling times. So this is already out of the bottle, and it's, you know, we're all going to have to deal with it now. And I'm finding that the unofficial sources of news are a lot more effective at this than the, you know, so-called trusted sources of news. That's it for this week. I hope everyone stays calm and stays safe and stays healthy. The show notes for this week's episode are easydns.com/podcast/135. And we will see you next time.